giocare Koulibaly di prepotenza, pallone per Lozano, c'è lo scambio con Mertens, Osimhen, Mertens dentro di tacco, Koulibaly, Mertens in mezzo, grande intervento di Gigi, poi arriva Osimhen, rete, il Napoli l'ha sboccata al 36esimo della ripresa, e chi se non Victor Osimhen sotto la curva B a raccogliere l'abbraccio dei tifosi del Napoli. Osimhen di testa ha sbloccato una partita complicatissima per il Napoli. Al 36esimo della ripresa il Napoli è in vantaggio 1-0 sul Torino. Il gol numero 5 in campionato di Victor Osimhen, il nono per lui in questa stagione. In altrettante partite, una macchina infernale di gol. Osimhen che di testa da opportunista ha spedito.
Tornati tifosi napolitani to another edition of Far From Vesuvius. I'm your host, as always, Rafa Rispo, and I have another edition of Frenemies today. Yes, we are about to play Roma at the Stadio Olimpico, and who better for me to bring on here than the Neapolitan Roman himself? Yes, Gianni Delicoli joins me today to talk about Roma, not about Napoli, about Roma. As you all know, as you might know, Johnny is a super fan of both teams. Yes, how is that possible? We don't know, but we'll find out. We'll find out when he comes on. Big win in the Europa League yesterday, 3-0 for Napoli. Took 75 minutes to penetrate that Legia defense. But we did really well, as you might have heard on the post-match that Raf Pizarro and I did for the rant. Napoli did impress, yes, even in rotation heavily. You know, Juan Jesus got a start, which was his first start, which, you know, he did really well with. Got Mertens getting his first start of the season, Demme getting his first start of the season. And the team played really well. Chucky Lozano was a protagonist in the first half. Lorenzo Insigne was man of the match. Victor Osimhen came in. Politano came in. And everything just changed, you know. Manolas had to come out, so they switched to a 3-5-2. And Napoli turned it up from there. I mean, absolute wonderful, wonderful result. 3-0. Gets us to second place in the Europa League as Leicester City go to Russia and beat Spartak Moscow on Wednesday. The situation is now this: 6 points for Legia. They're still in first place. Napoli in second with 4, with a +2 goal differential. Leicester City also with 4, with a 0 goal differential. And Spartak sit last with 3 points. Wide open still. Wide open. Anything can happen in the group. So that is the Europa League for you. In Serie A, obviously, you all know, Napoli, 8 wins of 8. They beat Torino last weekend with an amazing, amazing Victor Osimhen goal. You want to talk about ups. People talk about the Lazio goal that I believe it was Milinkovic-Savic who got the goal with the header. It has nothing on the Osimhen goal. Also, Ronaldo got a header for United on Wednesday against Atalanta. And everybody talked about their ups and Serie A. Everybody talked about Ronaldo's ups. And Serie A posted an Instagram about Milinkovic-Savic's ups. But everybody is overlooking the humongous goal by Victor Osimhen. His 5th of the season in Serie A. He's got 9 altogether. So this is going to be a big match. Roma coming off the heels of a loss to Juventus and a loss to Lazio. So big, big results there. But this is going to be a good one. So Gianni will be in. He'll talk to us. And we'll be back after the conversation with Gianni Dell'Icoli. Enjoy. Okay, Tifosi, this one I've been waiting for quite a while. Leading up to Roma-Napoli, I've had one person in mind for this segment. And here he is introducing today. You all know him as co-host of The Calcio Guys and huge, huge Roma fan. Gianni Dell'Icoli. Gianni, what's Hello. Going on, my Romanista? What's up, my friend?
It's going well. How about you? How's everything? Thanks for having me on, by the way.
No, the pleasure is mine, man. I appreciate you coming in and talking about Roma-Napoli. And so everybody here know, you might know from listening to, you know, we post the rant on Far From Vesuvius Audio. So those who are listening now to the Far From Vesuvius exclusive here should know Gianni from previous appearances. You also might know him as the guy who has the 101-year-old step nonno who has been alive for every single Italian national team championship, which is very, very impressive. But that is Gianni. He's such a big Roma fan, Gianni. Gianni is such a big Roma fan. But not only is he a Roma fan, he's a Napoli fan. So really fast, for those who might not know, why don't you go over why, how, what? Explain yourself, sir. What the hell got you to support two teams with such passion, with the same passion, honestly?
Yeah, because so as a kid, my first ever experience was first ever soccer experience that I've witnessed was more like the World Cup 98 because I was 5 going on 6 during that summer. And that's when I fully understood like watching soccer on TV. And from there, I started watching the league after that on Sundays with my grandfather, and my father. And basically like red was always my favorite color as a kid. So I just as a child, literally, I just like Roma because of red. But then that was also like in 98, 99, you know, like Totti was getting there and everything. They won the Scudetto in 2001. So I was like 8 years old, like, oh, my team won. And I was super happy, you know, so so it stuck. And also during that time, Napoli obviously wasn't in the best position ever. So my mom's side comes from Cervinara, which is near Naples. Funny enough, my nonno's a Cioffi. So probably distantly related to Tony Cioffi. But anyways, but like when Napoli started coming back into a resurgence, you know, I used to YouTube was a thing and it started becoming a thing. And at Serie B, used to put up either with Serie B or a fan of Napoli used to upload clips on a YouTube channel for Napoli's games in Serie B. And I used to show them to my nonno. And I developed a small soft spot for them. I was still a Roma supporter, but like, oh, you know, it's nice because I'm really close to my nonno and it's really good ties and stuff. And then I don't know, it just grew. Like it was just so fun to watch. It was especially during the Cavani, Hamsik, Lavezzi years. That trident was just outworldly, you know, like it was fantastic. It was always a fun Napoli. And from there, I just basically developed a love for both teams. And I know I deserve every single piece of slander I get coming my way. I get that. But I mean, it's more like my day one roots versus my family roots. I'm not one to betray either or. So I love both with an equal passion, believe it or not.
Well, you know, listen, as long as it's comes with hate for Juventus, Inter,
100%.
You know, like then it's fine by me. I mean, I know that as of late, Roma and Napoli have had a really big rivalry. You know, the issue in the Coppa Italia final in 2014 out in Rome. You know, there's a Derby delle Sole. You know, it's just it is sort of a heated rivalry. Really good matches too along the way. You know. I one thing I have to say is I'll never forget always being, you know, in you know, my people might kill me. You know, I say this a lot on the Frenemy segment. People are going to kill me, but I always used to have a soft spot for Roma myself. only because, like, you know, you mentioned Totti being on the team, and in 2000, Totti was like, I mean, everything, you know, and, yes. and, yes. you know, yeah. And to be honest with you, you mentioned the colors. The colors are actually, you know, the Napoli Tribuna colors, you know, yes. like, or I don't know if I, the, Provincia or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Those were actually my rec league growing up, my local Yonkers rec league, it's called Bryn Mawr. Their colors, their primary colors were Roma's colors.
Wow.
Like we all had different colors as a team. Like my dad sponsored a team and naturally it was either like navy blue or light blue, you know, for my dad being us being such Napoli fans. You know, and every team had its own color within the rec league. But then we branched out and played like a Yonkers citywide tournaments, you know, because there were other leagues out there depending on where in Yonkers you were from. So my league, Bryn Mawr, the primary colors were maroon and yellow. So okay. I always kind of loved those Enere, you know, Barilla, you know, Roma jerseys from the 80s when Maradona wore them to wore, you know, played, you know, the re-releases that you see behind me here.
Fantastic.
Thank you. And you know, they made Roma ones and they're tremendous. You know, I always like the Lupo, you know, it's a good fashion wise. And, you know, with Nike recently, they did really well with them. And now New Balance has good, you know, nice stuff out. So, you know, I mean, I'm not supposed to love Roma, but, you know, listen, it was Roma and Napoli, the teams in the South, you know, and
exactly.
It's a fun rivalry. Let's just put it that way. For me, it's fun. Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, let's talk about Roma. Jose Mourinho, man. How are you liking the Mourinho experience so far?
I mean, I it's interesting. I'm enjoying it so far on this ride. I remember when the news got announced, I was sick with COVID that week, and I opened up Instagram on my phone. And I thought I was having some kind of COVID fever dream or something. I'm like, this can't be real.
was he a mirage in the distance?
Pretty much. But like,
is that Jose Mourinho?
And oh. Roma, what is this? And it was the official Roma page that shared it, and it came out of the blue. Like there was no rumors prior to it either.
It really did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
And it was fantastic. Honestly speaking, like I always had the utmost respect for Mourinho. I remember a while back, just for fun, I put a debate on Twitter that I had a discussion with some friends of mine, like, who would you have as your manager, Ancelotti or Mourinho? Because both are very respected, let's say, Champions League winners. You know, they've ran their course, obviously. Even though obviously you could argue that maybe their styles are a little bit of the
outdated, possibly. Yeah,
mm-hmm. But nonetheless, you know, like Mourinho was always, in my eyes, probably top three manager of all time, top five,
arguably. For sure.
Yeah. And just the fact that he's going to manage Roma, especially that they're in a place in a dark place. I'm like, this is only going to be positive. Yes, obviously, there's going to be growing pains here and there. It's not going to be like a beautiful experience throughout it, you know. But like, I was surprised and I found it interesting. I'm like, Mourinho's going to choose Roma out of all teams, like a team that finished seventh. And I think he's just like, okay, maybe he's going to probably do a project out of it, you know. Like, I feel like as if he's trying to do this to show that A, he's not washed up, that some people were commenting about him ever since he left Tottenham, and B, he's trying to show that he's so good that he can take a mid-table team that has some history and some respect and bring them back into the upper part of the competition.
Yeah, and I think it's evident that Mourinho is running a project season. I mean, you know, you look at our side, dude, Spalletti coming in first season, but he comes in to a team that has already been built, that has already been structured. The team is already together. You know, Roma has a couple core guys in there, you know, Zaniolo getting over injuries, Pellegrini, you know, coming in and a few core guys, but you can see Mourinho's touches are here. Tammy Abraham, Rui Patricio, Shumurodov. Yes. And, mix in with the core group of guys, you know, it looks to me like Mourinho is very like he's setting up for the future.
Here, yes.
You know, he's looking at guys like I said, Pellegrini. I mean, just he loves the guy. So I feel like he's putting his pieces together right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he, like you said, to take over a team in the conference league in this brand new competition, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, couple of setbacks in the league, but honestly, like, here you go. I thought Fiorentina was the first match to fear. Mm-hmm. And this right here is truly the first match that I'm absolutely afraid of, because Roma can play. Tammy Abraham is explosive, just like Osimhen. You know, he probably hasn't found his stride yet, but he's getting there. You can see he plays very much like Osimhen. And watch out, because this weekend it's Roma Napoli. So, mm-hmm. I guess my next question to you is, let's start with the transfers. I'll talk to you about where you see Roma ending up. Transfers in and out, some favorites, some not. Like, what would you like to see, you know, happen at Roma? As far as that goes, any kind of rumors that have surfaced? I know it's really early, but, you know, anything that you guys were looking for that didn't come, or, like, you know, obviously Tammy Abraham's a great pickup. Mm-hmm. Favorite, least favorite, something you want to see that you should have seen in the offseason?
Well, honestly speaking, what you said before was perfect. Spalletti acquire like a well-formed team, a team that has chemistry developed. Mourinho coming in, he blew up the team in a good way. He had Thiago Pinto basically sell a lot of dead weight, Like if I can just name off the top of my head, like Nzonzi was like one of the hardest. The players to move. He got him out of there. He got rid of Under, who was Under Huermin, as I like to say on the Calcio guys, unfortunately, you know. you know, it sucks to lose Florenzi. I love Florenzi and I wish him the best at Milan. His heart wasn't there ever since the Pallotta era, where basically after that Champions League semifinal run, the team was just blown up and you saw that Florenzi's heart wasn't in anymore because he wasn't like where it was going. And it was kind of true. Like you saw, like a lot of the big guys like De Rossi leaving too. It hurts. You know, when you lose one of your generals in a dressing room to go play in a cross continent. I respect the fact that he didn't stay within the continent, you know, like he went to Argentina, but like you lose your general in the dressing room, you know, it's hard to stay passionate for the team. So Mourinho coming in, he wants to reestablish that kind of passion for Roma. And you can tell with that, he's going after character guys. And coming into it, Shomurodov, I'm like, okay, I wasn't too keen on the price tag that he paid. It's good for a sub. He's great. Abraham is fantastic. He's definitely going to find a stride in Roma. But that's the thing. It's a different formation, different style. Vigna was picked up in the left back position to replace Spinazzola while he's recovering. So I think what was great about Roma is that they got some key players in certain roles without spending too much. Because even though Tammy Abraham will cost 40 million euros, if Chelsea decides to reactivate the buyback clause within the first 2 years, they have to pay 80 million euros to Roma.
Wow.
So so it's a win-win for Roma either way. If you get Abraham for 2 years, yes, it sucks if you lose him, but you got a profit of it out of way,
right?
From it. And if you end up keeping him for the 5-year contract, well, you just kept Abraham for 5 years. So I think it was more like shedding the dead weight was very big for them. And Mourinho identified that, you said it before, the core is Zaniolo, Pellegrini. You can argue that Veretout is now part of that core. What was midfield? I know, like, I had fun with you guys when you guys had the Raf and Raf rant, where it was like, it's like we had the Q&A session and you guys were is Napoli the best midfield? I would argue Roma also has a fantastic mid too, when healthy, obviously. I think that's what Mourinho capitalized on. They're offensive. So that's why their system, when you see them play, is a very offensive system, which obviously has defensive setbacks, as we've seen in the recent Conference League game. And just to answer the question you asked from the beginning, like for future transfers, the team lacks a center defensive mid. As we all saw in the Lazio-Roma game, they were exposed on the counterattack. Sarri's system was perfect on the counterattack for Roma. Even though Roma dominated offensively, they got burned on the counterattack. Juve-Roma game. I know Allegri has a good defensive system, but Allegri capitalized on the counterattack there for Juve too, and they won 1-0. And Roma lacks a center defensive mid in my eyes. But apparently Zaccaria is a player that they're looking at to try to bring in during the winter transfer window. If it happens, great. It just strengthens that core. But that's what they're lacking right now. They're great offensively, but defensively they're disorganized. But if it wasn't for Rui Patricio making miraculous save, which is another fantastic pickup for Roma, defensively they're a mess. So hopefully that happens.
Three losses on the season. Juventus, Lazio being the two, the most recent two. You had a loss to Verona, but five wins. And, you know, fourth place, 15 points. I mean, are you happy with where you stand right now? It's funny asking you this because
yeah.
You know, a win, like, you know, like, yeah. A win against Napoli puts you, you know, a little closer to Napoli, but, you know, come on, man.
Yeah. No,
Napoli's undefeated. Yeah. Are you happy with where Roma's at? Like
in terms of like Roma?
Yeah,
in terms of Roma, I am 110% happy.
I mean, we're here to talk Roma, dude.
Yeah,
we're
here
to talk Roma. We ain't talking about Napoli.
In terms of Roma, I am happy with a top four finish. I don't care if it comes with ups and downs. I'm happy with a top four finish. Mourinho even said has always said in his press conference, he's like, we're not thinking about a trophy. Even when they started off super hot, they're like, we're not thinking about a trophy. We're not trying to win the championship here. We're trying to make ourselves competitive again. And he stated many times, like, I'm here for the three-year project. I'm here for a project. I'm here for however time it's going to take. So with that in mind, he's setting the expectation that, guys, we're not going to be title contenders. We're not going to try to fight for that trophy. But we are going to try to fight to finish in the top four to get back in Champions League. And that, in my eyes, because you set that expectation, I'm like, okay, when the losses come, they come. It's normal. But as long as you end up in the fourth place spot, I'm okay with it. Because that's essentially where I want to see Roma next year. I would like to see them play in Champions League. What I think obviously moves need to happen in between then in order to become good enough to compete. But just to get into the top four, that's where I want them to finish. And so far, it's going according to plan so far.
Well, it's all going according to plan, isn't it? I mean, you know, you got you because on the Napoli side, you know, and I'll speak for us. We really only expected a top four finish. You know, Spalletti coming in means pretty much guaranteed top four. So let's get there, you know. But now that we're undefeated, I mean, the course of the season is going to change people's expectations. We're now expected to hang with the big boys. But like I said, Johnny, this is the first big one in my estimation. You know, I mean, we played Juventus. Yeah, okay, we played Juventus.
But they were a weak Juventus.
They were so weakened. It sucks to say, to admit. But
no, but it's true. They weren't at their full power, so you can't really argue.
You can't really judge it on that. Third match of the season, they just lost Ronaldo too. Like for Napoli, it's when we get back from the Christmas break, that's when I want to see Napoli beat Juve right there. You know what I mean? Like it feels bittersweet. It feels almost like, you know, we won on account of, you know what I mean? On account of this, you know?
Yeah.
But so for me, this is top test so far right here against Roma. And let's talk about it. The Conference League loss to Bodo Glimt 6-1. Honestly, we talked about your expectations for Roma in the league. I don't think it's a secret that people think that Tottenham Roma should be the final of this competition.
Agreed.
But you know, I guess two wins in the Conference League before, right? Two wins.
Yeah.
You can afford this kind of loss, I guess, but I mean, come on, 6-1. And I know, I get it. You know, it was practically the bench, except for probably Rui Patricio and Ibanez, exactly. It was the bench for sure. But the bench should beat this team. I mean, these guys have a Norwegian named Pellegrino scoring against you. You know, like some dude I never heard of got a 9.8 on FootMob with what's that? Four assists and two goals?
holy crap. It's a big loss. And I think, like, you know, it's something that you mentioned, Mourinho saying they're not contending for titles. They're not going to think about trophies. They want to build for next year, build for the Champions League, build for the year after. I think that's huge when it comes to the general public and their views on Roma, because you think Roma, okay, Mourinho comes to a team, automatically they should be title contenders. But for him to say that they're not going after trophies, but I mean, come on, this Conference League should be, I mean, if Roma don't lift this or at least get to the final with you know, Tottenham, it just, for me, seems like it's a disappointment. I know the grand scheme of things, the grand plan, master plan is to get to the Champions League and maybe even a Coppa Italia run. But this Conference League should be a cakewalk, even with the bench. So mm-hmm. I understand the motive of starting the entire bench.
Mm-hmm.
Napoli did their fair share of rotation. Do you think the guys are going to be ready? Do you think Mourinho is pissed about this loss? I mean, a loss in this competition, okay. But a loss 6-1 to a team like that can't be acceptable, dude. So how do you feel Roma is going to approach this match on Sunday against Napoli?
Well, one thing about the Bodo/Glimt game that I wasn't happy about is that basically Mourinho threw his reserve players under the bus and just basically said Roma's bench is not great, which is bad because you have guys like Calafiori who are trying to break into the lineup, you know, and Reynolds on the right side that, you know,
besides, I beg to differ, bro. I mean, like especially maybe aside from whoever Darboy is, because I never heard of him. You know, these players are not terrible. They're not terrible. You got let me read it out. Patricio, then 4-3-2-1. You got Patricio, Calafiori on the left, Kumbula and Ibanez. Kumbula, I mean, just a couple of years ago was like highly rated at Verona.
Agreed.
Kumbula, Ibanez, and then Reynolds on the right, who's supposed to be this great American, right? Darboy in the midfield with VR and Diawara. You know, we know who he is.
We all know about Diawara.
Yeah, and then El Shaarawy and Perez in the attack with Mayoral. I mean, that's not a that team should beat Bodo/Glimt. I mean. I don't even know where they play.
I agree. They played in Norway.
Norway. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
Yeah. I don't think Mourinho is right when he calls out his bench like that.
I agree. And I'm like, that's why he said he threw them under the bench, which it just, as I'm saying, if you're a guy who's on the bench, that sucks because now your manager has zero faith in you. And it kind of gives you a bit of an uneasy feeling. And for the, like, I think he played this roster specifically for this game because he felt that the Napoli Roma game, which all due respect, is the bigger game to worry about. It is. I mean, like, you got the first place team in the league versus Roma. I mean, like, you obviously want to bring your best possible lineup to get the W, you know? So that's why he figured, you know what? We already have two wins in the group stage. We already have, we can afford to play a weaker lineup versus Bodo/Glimt and keep their best lineup for the Napoli game. 6-1 loss was not anything anybody expected. And I think that goes without saying, like, it was a bit of a shock. Thank God I was working and not watched that game. Cause I unfortunately missed the Napoli game too, but like, oof, what a barn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy hell.
I mean, I couldn't believe it when I saw somebody said Roma's losing. And then I saw a goal by a guy named Pellegrino and thought it was
Pellegrini.
Pellegrini. And I was like, oh, okay, they scored. They're back. And it was at that point like 6-1, dude. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like I just feel like
they should win.
For me, you're disrespecting the competition. And this is what I didn't want for Napoli. I didn't want to like admittedly tank any match in any competition where everyone says, oh, I'd rather win Scudetto than the Europa League. Yes. No, so would
I'd rather win it. I'd rather win it all.
You know, exactly. But I mean, and going out there and playing, you know what I mean? Like Napoli tied, you know, went down to Leicester City, but that's Leicester City. And they came back and tied. They lost to Spartak. Okay. They had a red card early in the match and it just wasn't in the cards for them that night.
Yeah,
they never really gave up. So for me, like Roma coming out to just completely tank this competition was just a sign of disrespect to that competition. I know it's a brand new competition.
Yeah, but I wouldn't I wouldn't say tank. I just think this was like a really like a bad, bad game, but like have a memory of a goldfish like Ted Lasso, just forget about it and move on. It is, yeah. I do agree, but like one thing I want to touch upon quickly before we continue, which you said before, I think I have to agree with you, you know, like this, like, yeah, you're building up to make yourself a competitive team. And this would be a nice little extra trophy along the way to help boost your confidence. You know, like look at Inter the year before they won the Scudetto. Yeah. They lost in the Europa League final, but they ended up winning the Scudetto that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. And I agree. I mean, this conference league, even if they lose in the final, just says like, hey, in a European competition, we made the final. That's something great we can say. I think they only have one European competition final in their lifetime. I think it was a Europa League final.
I'm pretty sure Roma won the UEFA Cup one year.
No, I don't think they don't, they don't have a European title. But I think they made
the final. Don't have a European. No, you made the final of the European Cup.
Yeah,
it was the yeah, you went to the European Cup final.
Yeah, so just to say, if you win this competition, even though yes, it is the third tier, but you just say like, hey, we just won a European title, it does help boost the confidence along the way.
I agree. And you know, like it's a brand new competition. It's a third tier competition, whatever, but it's a competition. Agreed. And it should be respected. But I get the rotation heavily. But at the same time, like I understand, I think where Mourinho comes from when he calls out the bench. But at the same time, don't say that about your bench. Your bench, yeah, you need exactly. to rely on. You know, you need to rely on. Listen, he's the manager though, so you know it's all good. How are you? Are you confident in getting a top four spot? And then we'll let you go. I know you got to run. So.
Oh, okay. I think this team is more than capable of getting a top four spot. The roster has been, it's not perfect, but it's good. It's very offensive and it's very aggressive. And we've seen the way Atalanta has played offensively and earning a top four spot. Sometimes the best defense is your offense. It's rare that happens, but if you're outscoring your opposition, your defense can be kind of average. But as long as you're scoring more than they're scoring, then it's fine. Obviously, when it comes to the grand scheme of things, it's not good, but I feel confident enough, like especially like after the winter transfer, that Spinazzola is going to be back 100%, and that's like a big addition to the left side. It's like as if him coming back is a transfer in, like it's perfect. Zaniolo needs to, like a lot of people are crapping on him, but this guy has almost two career-ending knee injuries. A lot of players, usually after one, usually call it quits. You know, he's very young. He's still got plenty of time, and he doesn't want to take any risks. Like, because God forbid a third one, I don't think this guy's coming back. So if Zaniolo takes his time, like he's going to play in the Napoli game, which he says he feels like he should. But
Zaniolo's going to play in the Napoli game. Then.
Yeah, he's from what I've been reading up, he should be fine to go for the Napoli game. It was just a hyper extension. He just needs to rest it a bit. Nothing crazy. Nothing that needs to have a surgery or whatever. So, but yeah, like it's just, but at the point where it's like, you see that against the Juve game, he just took a weird jump. And, you know, like at that point, it's like, hey, this kid can't push it too much, you know? So all in all, when this team gets its gears going, it's a great team. It's not perfect by any means. It's not sound, but it's a fun and good team to watch. And especially with the roster that they have and everybody's contributing and everybody seems to be developing that unity. I could say realistically they could finish top four, and I feel confident that they will.
So the reason why I mentioned the UEFA Cup as a trophy for Roma is because I remembered that I knew they had one, and everybody says they don't. They have an Intercities Fairs Cup, which they won the second ever Intercities Fairs Cup in 1960, which ended up officially being the predecessor to the UEFA Cup. So really? they yes. So technically, Roma has another does have a European trophy. I mean, like I said, it's been defunct for a really, really long time, and it is officially recognized as the predecessor to the UEFA Cup. So if you want to count it, I think officially they count it. I don't think modern times they do, but the only other final you've ever been in is the 1983-84 European Cup final against Liverpool, which you guys lost on penalties in. Mm-hmm. And
Liverpool winning the competition in penalties? Where have I seen this before?
Come on. It's never happened before. Come on.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Milan fans are going to attack us now.
It's all good. I'm in with the Milan fan crowd. It's all good.
I love them too. I rather them than the Juve crowd. No, I'm just kidding.
For sure. Well, there's a few Juve guys I'm cool with. There's one Roma guy I'm cool with, and he happens to be a Napoli guy, and it's this guy right here, Johnny. So thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, how are the guys doing at the Calcio guys? I really want to have the rest of the crew on. I only have you, which is great, but I'd love to have Nicholas on and
Adriano
too. Yeah. Yes, for sure. Yeah. How are they doing? Good.
They're doing very well. Basically now, obviously they're working and stuff, but we're doing very, very well. We've gotten together a few. Actually, we got together this past weekend to watch Roma Juve at our friend Massimo's house. So,
oh sweet,
yeah. So it's nice to get together with the guys and watch games and stuff finally. And yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure they'll be more than happy to come on. They speak highly of you, man. Anyway. So,
well, yeah, we love them, man. We do. What are you doing? Thank you. I appreciate it. And Raf loves you guys too. We talk about you guys all the time. We really do. Kudos to you guys getting Kelly Cavado from Femminile. That's cool. She's making her way around, and you guys started it, so that's cool.
Yeah, we were lucky. She went to high school with Nicholas, actually. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Really cool. And what are you doing for the game? Last thing.
Not sure yet, to be honest with you. But I'm probably going to be on the mindset of like, I'd rather watch it alone. I'm a very superstitious person. And like, I don't want to be in a room with a fan of either team. Cause I don't know. Like, I feel like I can't be myself. Mind you, I'm not the type of guy where it's like either team scores, I'm celebrating, jumping off the walls, you know, but like, I'm like heavily critical of both teams when a game goes on. And I'm like, also you see like no matter the result, obviously, like, yeah, Johnny gets a win. Ooh, but like, dude, I
have to ask you that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I do have a preference of who I want to win this weekend. And I'm going to keep that a secret, but I do have a preference.
Oh, listen, I would love to be in the room with you to watch you in a Roma-Napoli match. I would love to see it.
It's just me in the corner, like biting.
Just
my
you
nails.
Going like this, like. Do you like? How does that work, bro? Like, what do you do? Like,
I just sit down.
I can see you yelling at the ref all game.
I just sit down and either A, like if either player on either team is going to be an idiot, I call them out on it. Like, I'm able to like. There's no bias involved in this match because I love both teams. So if one player fouls another player, for example, I'll be able to say like, no, that was actually a serious foul, or like, okay, no, that's an exaggeration.
Right. So I got you.
But when standings are included and the weight of what happens after the match isn't considered, I develop a preference of who I prefer to see winning. Obviously, if it's not the end of the world if one side wins versus the other, but with all things considered, there is a side that would rather want to see win because it would be cool to see them win at the end of the day, you know,
the smirk on my face right now.
Yeah. Cause
on both of us, if you guys could see us, I'm going to post this picture on Twitter. Yeah. You guys have to see.
Cause I mean, like I
it's
said,
it's Roma, isn't it? It's no, Roma, no, isn't no, it? No, Napoli no, no. could afford a loss. Can't they?
I mean, yes, but I
exist for the ultimate goal. I mean, for like the ultimate goal, right?
It's a frenemy segment, but just have some fun with it. Just have some fun with it. It would be kind of cool to, like I said, I saw Roma win a Scudetto as a kid, just for my nonno himself, and just to see him happy. It would be nice to see Napoli win that championship at the end of the year, but obviously not done yet. There's after tomorrow's game, there's still 30. Oh my God.
Oh my still, goodness. Sorry, there's so much games. To play. Oh
there's,
my God.
There's still 29 games left in the season. So, but it would be, it would be cool.
What's good is that Roma win, you know, they're not locked into the Champions League yet. Napoli win, they're not locked into the Scudetto yet. So it's like we're at this limbo stage right now. So, season's you know, hey, man, though. Yeah, good luck to you this weekend. Thanks. Hopefully your team wins. You
know? Yes, hopefully my team wins.
How many
good
times
luck to your team too?
Hopefully well, I mean, I can imagine you're happy with a draw. I could see like Osimhen getting the 95th minute winner and you going, with your like hands on your chin going, all right, that's cool. That's right.
Yeah. No, I mean, like if the Osimhen goal, for example, that he scored this past weekend, like after the header, like I was just, oh, wow. What a
yesterday was
the goal yesterday. Holy hell. He makes it look easy. I can't believe it.
And he gets a lot of crap for a lot of reasons, and that's a whole other show, man. Yeah, like definitely. Like he really does. He really does. I would like to have you on again soon, whether definitely. It be Far From Vesuvius or the rant, because there is a lot of Napoli to talk about. But Johnny, definitely. Thanks for representing Roma today. You're definitely my best Roma friend. That's for sure. That's actually, I mean, that we've never met. I have a client who's a huge Roma fan, huge, mm-hmm. and his son turned into a Napoli fan because his dad is so obnoxious with the Roma fan. His son was growing up and you know, a little bit 4 or 5 years ago, seeing Mertens play, he became a huge Mertens fan. So now he loves Napoli. And it's great when he comes in with his kid. I cut his kid's hair. We talk Napoli. And his dad is like, oh, so Roma. And we're just like, yeah, whatever. But no, man, it's a lot of fun. Thank you for this. Do you want to anything?
Yeah, just a fun little side note to that kind of story, that there's a kind of like a similarity. Cannavaro and Totti had a Instagram live once, and Totti's kid came along into the live while they were talking, and Cannavaro said, so I hear that your son's a Napoli fan. And apparently Totti's son is a Napoli supporter. And just think about it. Your father is the king of Rome. And you become an Apple.
Yeah, because he's probably like, Dad, yeah, eye roll, you know. Roma, yeah, Roma, okay, fine. Anyway. Oh, dude, Ken Cioffredi is in Rome right now. He's going to the match. So I should probably have brought that up a little earlier. I know you're pressed for time, so we'll get you out of here. Okay.
He tagged me on Twitter about it, too. He's somebody don't tell Johnny. I'm like, too late, I already know.
dude. Crazy. He's there. He's going to be there for that. That's something I'm sure. Have you ever been? No, you've never been to a Roma Napoli game at the Olimpico or at the Maradona. Have you?
No. I've been to both cities when I was younger. And then, in high school, I went to the north of Italy, but I've been to both cities as a kid. I just never actually had a chance to watch a Serie A game live in Italy. So it's on my bucket list. 110%.
Got to do it.
It's like, not as if it's a hard thing. I have family there. I could easily not have to take the expenses. Like, it's just
right.
Like, I need to
experience. Same here, man. Day. Same here. Listen, it's a matter of getting out there, you know.
100%.
We have lives, bro. We have lives. It's very difficult, but God bless Ken for being there.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. Listen, again, come back soon. We'll talk. Enjoy the match.
Thank you. You too.
I'll be thinking of you during it. yeah, man, Gianni Delicoli from the Calcio Guys. Go visit their Twitter. Go listen to their podcast. Fantastic stuff. Just great stuff. You won't be disappointed. I'll see you all soon. Ciao, Gianni. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Ralph. Bye, guys. Alla sinistra di Mehmet.
Ecco gol. Tanto il gol del Napoli, Insigne, Lorenzo il Magnifico, porta avanti il Napoli, da destra un traversone che è arrivato al limite dell'area di rigore, di prima il capitano del Napoli ha sbloccato il risultato, va sotto la curva Lorenzo Insigne, stavolta non poteva nulla il portiere della formazione polacca.
E questa è stata una prodezza di Insigne, questo vogliamo dirlo, una prodezza di Insigne in una
destra vicino a sé Insigne, scambia adesso con il suo capitano, di nuovo il pallone di ritorno per Osimhen, entra nel rigore Osimhen, la conclusione, la rete.
Osimhen, imprendibile, il nigeriano lascia il segno, e come, anche in Europa League, al 79esimo, Napoli 2, Legia Varsavia 0, Osimhen.
E questa è la differenza, e questa è la differenza, un gol, posso dirlo, sensazionale, perché ha fatto tutto lui, si è conquistato il pallone, l'ha servito a un suo compagno di squadra, che è difficile capire chi poteva essere da questa posizione.
Insigne
gli ha ridato il pallone in velocità, lui è bravissimo a inserirsi in velocità negli spazi, e praticamente da una distanza abbastanza notevole, possiamo dirlo, ha trafitto il portiere.
In baggio, tutto in avanti, 60 secondi alla fine, con il tentativo da parte di Politano, che fa tris, Napoli che chiude in bellezza con la terza rete a chiudere definitivamente i conti, ma non c'erano dubbi, in realtà cercava gloria personale, l'ha ottenuta Politano in questo recupero, e allora sono serviti 5 minuti alla formazione di Luciano Spalletti per rendere più pesante il passivo per il Lega Varsavia e per
And there you have it, guys. I really hope you enjoyed Gianni Delicoli. He's a really good friend of mine. Can't wait to meet up with him one of these days to watch a match with him, just to kind of hang. Definitely looking forward to doing the more regular things. This pandemic has really gotten the best of us, and it's almost over, guys. Hang in there, hang in there. I want to mention that we will have a post-match Roma-Napoli directly after the Roma-Napoli match, or as soon after as possible. Catch us probably about 15 minutes after. I also want to shout out Ken, who is in Rome right now anticipating the Roma-Napoli match. Yes, he will be live at that match. And he is going down to Naples to be at Napoli-Bologna as well. Be sure to check our Twitter account for a lot of really cool things he's doing there. He's going to post regularly pictures, video, content, really cool stuff. So check that out. And while you're there on Twitter, please be sure to check out Kirsten's interview with Chiesa di Totti. I recently did something for Chiesa di Totti doing a pre-match Napoli-Fiorentina outlook, and Chiesa di Totti at SB Nation asked us to partake in a little bit of Roma-Napoli preview, and Kirsten took the opportunity to sit down and chat with them. So please check it out. We've reposted it on our Twitter, or you can go to chiesaditotti.com, where Kirsten talks about Spalletti, Osimhen, and more ahead of Roma. Very, very good stuff. Raf and I will be, like I said, on the post-match for that match. And then on Monday night, we will have a guest, a very special guest. His name is Wayne Gerard. He's also a Roma fan, but he works with IFTV and does a whole bunch of stuff. He's an actual columnist at Roma English Twitter, and he does help with content on IFTV, so it's really cool. He's a writer for Urban Pitch, Gentleman Ultra. He is really he's got a website called WayneInRome.com. So Wayne Gerard will join us on Monday night for the rant proper. Going to be fun either way. But this is going to be a big match, guys. This is, like I said with Johnny, this is our true test, our first true test. Heavily rotated in the Europa League. So did Roma in their 6-1 loss to Bodo Glimt. So how will they react? What will we be facing? Also, don't forget, Saturday afternoon, Bologna-Milan. This is going to be another big one. Bologna is a tricky team. They usually get up for these games and already have a 3-0 win in their repertoire against Lazio. What can they do against Milan? Can they force Milan to drop points? And if they do, can we capitalize and increase the lead we have on Milan by more than two? Also, a big one, Inter-Juventus, Sunday afternoon after the Roma-Napoli game. If you're looking for it, Roma-Napoli will be on Paramount+. and Matteo Bonetti and Dre Cordero will be on the call for that and the Inter game right after that. Studio coverage for both matches. It's going to be a pretty big weekend in Serie A, guys. And then don't forget, we have Bologna on Thursday at the Maradona, 2:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Big, big, big weekend coming up, week coming up. After that, Salernitana on Halloween at 1 o'clock p.m., not 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, as the clocks in Italy change back. Guys, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be back midweek for another edition of Frenemies. I got to find a Bologna fan. Bologna fans, where are you at? Hit me up on Twitter. Ciao for now. Forza Napoli sempre.